Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the episode for October 8th, 2007, and on this episode we have an interview with Austin Tischner from the Reduced Shakespeare Company. He sits down for an interview with Tom Williams, and he talks about his shows playing at the Royal George Theater. And of course, this week we have Chicago's theater news for you. So, Chicago, get ready, and let's talk theater.
This is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guest this week is the man who behind one of the certainly funniest shows to come to Chicago in a long time. He is from the Reduced Shakespeare Company. His name is Austin Tischner. Hello, Austin.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Great. Now, for those audience members who have not seen your show, I know you guys have been around 26 years. Explain what Reduced Shakespeare Company is and what these two shows that you have at the Royal George coming up.
Well, the Reduced Shakespeare Company started 26 years ago as a pass the hat act at Renaissance fairs in California. And we learned to be fast, funny, and physical at those Ren fairs because that's what kept people standing around watching and then throwing money into our hat at the end of the performance. And that's a lesson in performance and capitalism that we adhere to this day, where we take large serious topics, and boil them down into short, silly comedies.
Yes, and the two topics you've chosen this time are the Bible, the complete Word of God, abridged, and completely Hollywood abridged.
That's right. The scripture for most of the world, and then scripture for Los Angeles.
I mean, you don't take on little topics at all.
Well, there doesn't seem to be any point. You know, if you're going to the theater, you know, that's an expense. You know, you want to tackle something large and huge and worth leaving your home for. You know, it's also hard to make fun of silly things, we find. You know, so the larger and the more serious the topic, the greater fun we can have. And what we find, I mean, these are shows that we spend years and years performing and honing and rewriting and adding new material to. So that we want our subject matters to be large enough to warrant that attention, but also subjects that we really enjoy. All of our shows are celebrations of the topics at hand, whether it's the Bible or it's history or it's literature in its various forms. So it's an irreverent celebration, for instance, of the Bible. It's our comedy isn't born of malice. I don't think any of us would still be around if we were spending all of our time making fun of things that we loathed.
Now, this is a pretty well scripted show, right? It's not an improv show.
No, it's not an improv show. It is definitely scripted. There are moments where we tend to get loose. We always acknowledge the fact that we're in a theater. The audience is pretending to believe what we're doing on stage, and we are supposed to pretend that the audience, that we don't know the audience is there. But of course, that fourth wall gets broken a lot as we acknowledge the artifice and the communal experience that we're all into. What's wonderful is that in our shows, the audience plays along so wonderfully, because that's what audiences do. They're there to share in the experience, but we get that added pleasure of then making a joke about how well the audience is playing along.
Okay, and you're doing the two shows. How are you, one night you do one show, and the other night you do the Bible, and the one night you do the complete Hollywood?
Yeah, exactly right. There's a certain schedule. I think it goes Bible, Hollywood, Hollywood, Bible, Bible, Hollywood, Hollywood, Bible, I think.
Oh, okay, it's at the Royal George Theater, and they can go to the Royal George, or they can go to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's website,
That's right.
And just click on Chicago, and it has the complete schedule.
Well, and I love your podcast, Tom, because we do our own podcast.
Yes, I listen to them, and they were very funny. That's why I said I got to interview these guys. These guys are just crazy funny.
Oh, that's great. Well, and I lived in Chicago from 90 to 96. When my wife Dee Ryan was a member of the ETC company at Second City. And she was on the ETC stage there, writing and performing. So it's a thrilling for me to be coming back to Chicago.
Well, you're just in time because we always need a good shot of comedy.
Well, we certainly do, especially when the Cubs have blown their first two games.
Yeah, and it could be over by the time your show opens Sunday.
I know, which could help our ticket sales, but not in the way I would like.
Yeah, there's a. But then we were going to need the laugh.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely.
So now you are one of the founders. Give us your background now. And I know you said you were doing these routines and passing the hat.
Yeah, that's how we started. I am not one of the three original guys, the three originals. Daniel Singer was the name of the man who founded the company. It was his idea to found a company of players called themselves the Reduced Shakespeare Company. There's that other company in London, in England, the Royal Shakespeare Company. They've stolen our initials, and so we're seeking legal redress. But there were two other guys, Adam Long and Jess Winfield, who were the three originals. Reed Martin and I are now we call ourselves the New Originals.
The New Originals.
Reed joined the company in 89. I joined the company in 92, and we became partners and owners of the company. When we joined, in little by little, the other guys drifted away because they wanted to do something else. So Reed and I joined the company after the complete works of William Shakespeare had been written, and we have then subsequently co-written all the other five shows that comprise the Reduced Shakespeare Company canon: Complete History of America Abridged, The Bible, The Complete Word of God Abridged, which we're doing here in town, The Millennium Musical Abridged, 1,000 Years of World History in 100 minutes, and just to make it more difficult, we sang and danced. Then all the great books abridged, and then our latest show, Completely Hollywood Abridged.
Wow, you guys love these narrow topics.
Well, that's our thing, that's our shtick, and we're riding it as far as we can.
And you've toured these shows all over the world.
Yeah, we're all over the world. God, I think it's up to 17 countries now. We've also licensed the scripts and so they've been translated into over a dozen languages: German, Spanish, Portuguese, Swedish, a lot of your Scandinavian languages, Hungarian, Polish. It's great. People seem to really crave this kind of reductive sensibility.
So this is a combination of physical humor. Give us a flavor. I know it's hard to do in a podcast when you're talking about it.
Right. But. Yeah. Analyzing comedy like dissecting a frog.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a mixture. It's I don't know. In the 80s, they would have used an expression called new vaudeville, and it's a combination of physical comedy, verbal comedy, high comedy, and low comedy. There's sophisticated, witty jokes, and there are fart jokes. There's physical stuff that appeals to people, maybe kids or people for whom English is not their first language. Their physical stuff. It sort of runs the gamut, and it's interesting. We get reviews that use the exact same language, whether it's a good review or a bad review. One person will say, "Oh, that show was sophomoric. I hated it." And the other review will say, "Oh, that show was sophomoric. I loved it." Which I guess is praise of a sort. But for the people who own, I mean, there's a kind of comedy for everybody, but there are people for whom either we're not smart enough or we're not stupid enough. But we're really aiming at a lot of targets. There's another thing that we do, which I think is interesting, is that it's about status. All of our shows are really about, the Reduced Shakespeare Company is a three-man comedy team, basically, like the classic teams, if we could be as classic as the Marx Brothers or the Three Stooges or whatever. But like that classic comedy trio where we have the intellectual professorial one, that would be me, the bullet-headed enforcer, which is my partner Reed, and then our idiotic, sort of naive man-child. These are the three comic archetypes that do all of our shows. And I think there's some, I think there's something appealing in seeing performers attempt the impossible. And I think there's an added level of humor in that these, we three performers don't know that what we're trying to do is impossible. So we think it can actually be done. We think you can actually do the entire Bible in 90 minutes.
So you, in a way, you guys are kind of bringing back the old black and white Three Stooges and things that we all grew up with on television.
Well, with any luck, it has that kind of humor. You know, there's three guys fighting amongst each other, but also then two guys will go off and have a kind of a more sophisticated, funny argument about whatever. You know, Abraham talking to God. Negotiating with God, or the other thing we do is talking about status, is that sometimes we are ahead of the audience, and sometimes we let the audience get ahead of us. Sometimes the audience is smarter than us and can see the joke coming up Broadway, you know, or coming up Halsted,
mm-hmm.
in this case.
Okay.
And you know, we acknowledge that fact, that, you know, a lot of the jokes you can see coming, but then we'll surprise you with another joke that you didn't see coming.
Well, so, that's great.
So part of that is to make the audience feel smarter than us, and then we also like to surprise the audience by being smarter than them every now and then.
Well, just by the way you're describing and the fact that, that these routines have been polished and done all over the world, I'm sure you guys really have this down to a science now. So,
the one thing is, every time we sit down to write a new show, we always say, this isn't brain surgery. Brain surgery is easy. You can learn brain surgery. Every time you sit down to write a new show, even a new Radu Shakespeare Company show, it's a brand new beast. And reducing Hollywood is not the same thing as reducing the Bible. It has its own different needs. And so try as we might to repeat ourselves, we don't really want to repeat ourselves because then the audience gets bored, we get bored. But at the same time, we want to do something similar that audiences will recognize as a Radu Shakespeare Company, you know, style show.
Makes sense.
But also be something new and different.
How much do you adapt it to, now you're playing Chicago, which is a sophisticated, you know, middle America city.
Yep.
It certainly would play differently in Keokuk, Iowa, or in Selma, Alabama.
Yeah, well, it's what's gratifying is how universally well the shows play, regardless of where we are, even within this country or even around the world. It's the local references that get changed. We can't making a joke about the Cubs here gets a much bigger laugh than it does in Los Angeles. You know.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
There's a handful of references like that, but the material itself doesn't really change. And what's interesting is that you don't have to have read the Bible to enjoy the show because
that's good.
Well, I mean, in that sense, we always ask the audience how many of you have read the Bible cover to cover, and there's never more than a handful of hands go up, and so we feel like we're performing a public service. You know, come see our show; you never have to read it again.
That's true. Well, then you don't have to go to church either, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. You don't need to know the subject matter, in other words, to enjoy the shows. The audience hasn't read the Bible cover to cover, neither have we. So we've heard of most of the Gospels.
Oh, you've heard of. Okay, that's good. Now, give us your take on completely Hollywood. Are you attacking the stars or the stereotypes of Hollywood? Or?
It's all of that. The madness, the method, the images, the implants. It's the history of Hollywood. It's the 177 greatest films Hollywood has ever produced.
177. That's all, huh?
That's all. That's as many as we could squeeze in. I mean, it's only like a 100-minute show. But it's also, by and large, the cliches and the lessons and truths that are universal to most of Hollywood. So we break it down. We break down, you know, success in Hollywood into 12 easy lessons, which, you know, since the whole world is addicted to the movies, it seems only right to talk about Hollywood in terms of a 12-step program.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, so we do. One of the lessons is, you know, every new movie is based on a combination of two old movies. because audiences expect the familiar. You know, that makes them feel comfortable. So you get you combine James Bond and Home Alone, and you get Spy Kids. Or you combine Unforgiven with The Birdcage and get Brokeback Mountain.
Oh,
you know, and then it becomes sort of our pursuit of finding, well, what would be the best ultimate combination for the ultimate Hollywood blockbuster, and then we run through a bunch of different options, you know, throughout the course of the show. Another great Hollywood lesson is that in Hollywood, everybody has written a screenplay, and in our show, all three of us have each written a screenplay. And it becomes, again, a contest and a battle amongst the three of us to see which screenplay of ours should we do. And inevitably, it becomes this horrible hodgepodge, mishmash combination of all three of our screenplays, which manages to combine every Hollywood cliche you've ever seen into a single movie and a few Hollywood cliches you've never seen before. So we're making up our own cliches now.
Oh, that's great. And how much of the material do you, like, change the order over that? Let's say you're playing to, you know, every night the audience is different. So let's say you're playing to an audience that's just not reacting. I mean, your material is good. For some reason, they're comatose.
Right.
Well, how do you guys adjust to that as seasoned professionals?
We drink heavily.
Okay.
What's gratifying is that if they're just, and we have lots of audiences like that. They seem to be laughter challenged. You know, they don't laugh uproariously. They smile politely. excuse me. And what we do is that we just kind of pick up the pace a little bit.
Okay.
We pick up the pace and we bring them along with us. You know, we don't rely on, there are nights when the laughter is just, you know, so great you can coast on the waves. You know, it's really, that's a beautiful, magical thing. But there are nights where you kind of have to earn your paycheck and pick up the pace and bring them along with you. And by and large, we always go out to the audience, go out to the lobby after every show to, you know, sign autographs and shamelessly hawk our merchandise.
Sure.
We have DVDs and books and scripts and T-shirts.
So it's the back end is where you make the money.
Absolutely. You know, it's in the popcorn, just like in the movies. It's not the movie itself, it's the popcorn. But without fail, the quietest audience will come out to the lobby and say, "Oh, I have never laughed so hard in my life." And we have to say, "Oh, geez, you've got to get out more."
Because you work hard.
I thought that was the funniest thing I ever heard. Really? Well, you kept that to yourself. Well done. So that's nice. It makes us feel better. Because, okay, they really did like it. They just weren't making the kind of noise we're used to them making.
And they kind of, don't they surprise, a lot of actors and comics have told me that, you just never know what the audience is going to be. You think you're in a town, and you go, well, this town, they love us. The next night, you're working your rear end off, right?
Well, exactly right. And in Chicago, I mean, the gauntlet has been thrown down in Chicago. I mean, Chicago has got Second City and
right.
I.O. and The Annoyance and great comedy clubs, great comic theater, and great theater, full stop. You know, and for us to come in and We're not teaching anybody anything new about theater. I think we've just honed it into a style where we attack large, serious things. So if we can carve out our own little niche here at the Royal George amidst all the great, you know, Chicago theater, we'll be very, very happy.
Well, Forbidden Broadway, which is right in the same building, is doing very, very well.
They're doing very well. I have a good old friend of mine is in that show, so it's thrilling to be sharing the same green hallway as him backstage.
Yes, and of course, your stuff is totally different than theirs. But it's, again, it's in that tradition of taking pop culture and making it funny, kind of spoofing it,
irreverent send-ups. You know, and with the Bible show, you know, there was some talk early on. The Bible show was originally conceived to be a television program for Israeli TV.
You're kidding.
That's how we were first approached by that. But like many TV projects, it fell through. You know, it didn't happen. But we were performing at the Kennedy Center in 94, doing our Complete History of America abridged, which was perfect in the nation's capital to be performing Complete History of America. And they said, we sold out for 12 weeks. And the Kennedy Center said, well, this is great. What else you got? And we said, well, we were kicking around, maybe writing a show about the Bible. They said, great, write it. We'll book it in here next summer. So
that's nice to know you have an advanced booking for something that isn't written.
Exactly right. It was an enormous leap of faith on the Kennedy Center's part, and we've been back there for five summers in the last decade. So it's been we've had a great relationship.
Is this your first visit to Chicago?
This is our first visit to Chicago proper. Yeah, we played a lot of the Burbs,
okay.
Glen Ellen, Skokie, Schaumburg, but not the city proper. No.
Well, this ought to be interesting for you.
Well, it will be. It's already interesting. You know, but to be on the same block as Steppenwolf, I mean, that's phenomenal for us. It's a huge treat for us to be here.
Yeah, and I think as word gets around, like a lot of people listen to our podcast, and thank you folks for that. And I, you know, as much as I stay up on this stuff, I had not known much about your group. But boy, as soon as I did any research and I listened to some of your podcast on your site, I started laughing. I said, I got to have these guys on. I can't wait to see this show.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm thrilled that you're listening to the podcast. I'm such a believer in the beauty of the podcast now. It's allowed us not only to reach, you know, such a wide audience, but a different kind of audience than we would reach in other traditional ways.
Yeah, that's true. And since we at our Talk Theater in Chicago have put where we have streaming where you don't even have to download it, you know, you can just click on and start listening.
Yeah.
Our listenership is gone sky. It's just gone crazy.
That's great. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And it's, well, I wasn't a believer. I'm an old radio guy, but I'm finding out that unless you're on a major, major radio station, you know, podcast is a way to reach people.
I hardly ever listen to radio anymore.
Yeah.
I just pick the podcasts I like and go to there. So I'm a little behind on the news. Are we still at war?
I guess.
Yeah, right.
You know, but by the way, let me ask you this. You've done a lot of things. When are you guys going to attack television, sitcom television?
Ah.
What,
well,
do they need it?
Interesting that you say that, because we sold a pilot to TBS, Turner Broadcasting.
Okay.
They're broadcasting the playoffs right now. And we just wrote and filmed the first, what they call a pilot presentation of a show that Reed and I wrote called The Week Reduced, where we take the week's events and reduce them into a half-hour news magazine show. And, you know, reduce them to their essence and find the links and combinations, connections amongst all the week's events. And, you know, boil it down in a nutshell like we do with our shows. And it went extremely well. On the night at the taping, the TBS execs said, this is great. When are we doing this again? We're going to do it again on November 1st. And if they like that, then they have to take it back to their corporate overlords in Atlanta. And if they like what they see, you know, sometime in 2008, we'll be doing a weekly television show called The Week Reduced.
Boy, talk about work to maintain comedy for each week is wow.
Well, but again, I mean, as Will Rogers discovered, you know, you can't do much better than to open the paper.
That's true, and then if you have a slow week, you can always start attacking the stereotypes of all these pretty boy and pretty girl situation sitcoms that are on television.
Well, and I think we'll be doing that with some of our casting.
Okay.
And well, and that's one of our ideas for The Week Reduced too. That every now and then we will show a classic episode of The Week Reduced. So for say like an episode from the week in 1974 when Richard Nixon resigned. You know, so you'll see our bad 70s haircuts and polyester wide lapel suits, and or the week in 1864 when President Lincoln was assassinated. You know, where we're in our stovepipe hats and in the sepia colored film. We think that would be really fun. So they'd be doing more The Week in History Reduced.
Yeah, and you know, the side events, when people do satires on history, it's amazing how many people don't know the history, and because of that, they actually go and learn about it.
Well, I know, which is a nice added side benefit. I mean, all we want to do in our shows is to make people laugh, but we find it's more rewarding to us, and we think it's more rewarding to audiences to make people laugh about something intelligent. And as I say, you don't need to know basically anything about anything to laugh at our stuff, but it certainly helps.
Yeah, and it catch the nuances of it. So obviously your comedy is on from the most basic physical level to real subtle.
Yeah.
All right, and how about, are these children proof, or are they, should the kids stay home, or?
No, we think they're children proof. I mean, we say that our shows are rated PG-13. Pretty good if you're 13.
Okay.
But yeah, they're all, I mean, our children are under 10. We all have kids and they're all under 10 and they've all seen the shows and have remained generally unscathed. But
so it's not full
of Bible
file language and so forth.
Right? Yeah, I mean, talk about doing Hollywood and the Bible, Hollywood and divine. There are no two subjects that have greater amounts of sex and violence than the Bible and Hollywood.
That's true.
So we've had to be very careful about that. But generally, yes. I mean, if you have any sort of sense of humor at all, anything that we say that goes over the heads of our audience, that's fine with us. And if the young children understand what we're saying, then they knew it already before they came in, and it's not our fault.
That's true. If you watch some of the Disney movies, there's some references that a lot of the kids don't get, but you and I laugh, and
exactly
they're pretty sexual.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And I think the spirit of our shows is one of serious, learned inquiry. So I think the tone of our shows provides a context in which some of the more bawdy references can be, safely placed.
Okay. And these shows run, what do you say, about 100 minutes?
Yeah, it's a two-hour show, including the intermission.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, that's great, because I would imagine it just, you start right out and just go right at them, right?
Yeah, we just come out, because we only have so little time and so much to cover, so we got to get right at it.
Yeah, and so you're rotating the Complete Hollywood Unabridged and the Bible, and it's Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're at the Royal George Theater. You're going to be opening on October 7th.
Right.
And this people will be listening to this on the Monday the 8th.
Oh, okay.
And
well, that's great. And
oh yeah, I wanted to get, once I realized, I said, hey, I'm missing this story. I got to get ahead of the curve on this.
Well, I'm glad you were able to call me today. This is perfect.
Yeah, it did work out. And of course, we're the reviewers are all seeing the show on one on Sunday and one on Tuesday.
Oh, great.
So I can't wait for it. Now, who's your third? Give us the cast now again. It's three people.
So our company is slightly less reduced than it used to be. For the Bible show, the three guys are myself, Reed Martin, and Matt Croak. Matt Croak is a Chicago native and trained at the Second City. He was in the same fifth level program as my wife, D. Ryan. She went on to the ETC stage. He went on to Ringling Brothers and then joined the Reduced Shakespeare Company. He's our third for the Bible. Our third for the Hollywood show is a guy named Dominic Conti, another Chicago actor who's done a lot of work.
That name I know. Okay.
He's done a lot of work with Red Orchid, with Plasticine. The Plasticine Company, they just won an orgy? No. How do you say that?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. They won some regional organized ensemble. I don't know. Anyway, they won some award. It was great. Their award-winning ensemble there at Plasticine. So he's the third for our Hollywood show. What happens is Reed and I write the shows, and then we rehearse them, put them on their feet with our third guy. And in the case of Bible, it was Matt. In the case of Hollywood, it was Dominic. So it will be the three originators of each show coming to perform the shows here in Chicago.
Well, that'll be terrific. And you're scheduled for what, a three-week run?
We're scheduled, I think, for a 4 to 5 week
run. Oh, 4 to 5 week, okay.
So, yes.
Great. Well, we're looking forward to this show, and I just thank you so much for this interview. And in listening to your podcast and hearing you talk about the show, there's nothing better than witty, well done comedy, and we need it so much in these crazy times.
We do, and if you see any, let me know, please.
Well, I'm sure your stuff is going to be good, and welcome to Chicago, and it's about time. You guys have been around 26 years.
I know. Well, the planets have to align just perfectly to get the right theater at the right time, and for us to land at the Royal George is a blessing. Which is only right and proper considering we're reducing the Bible.
Well, that's true. And thank you for this podcast. And folks, remember, go see a play this week.
Hello, Chicago. Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you Chicago's theater news for the week of October 8th, 2007. Steppenwolf has announced the lineup for their annual 2008 Traffic Series, and the series will feature a season of eclectic artists and personalities on the Steppenwolf stage. The 2008 Traffic Series starts off with an intimate evening with David Sedaris. The intimate evening kicks off on January 8th of next year with one of the funniest writers in America. After that comes the Pocketbook Monologues. It is performed in the style of the Vagina Monologues, but with the black female perspective. A Legacy of Jazz and Poetry comes next. The show is about jazz maven Maggie Brown exploring the legacy of her late father, Oscar Brown Jr. Next in the series is a celebration of Chicago sketch comedy, which features the comedy groups Kevinda and Schadenfreude working together to present a night of politically charged, racy sketch comedy. Coming after that will be East Meets the Rest, a performance produced by the founder of the Asian America Jazz Festival. And topping off the series will be De Corazón from the Heart, a folk-to-fusion concert by the Sones de Mexico Ensemble. Tickets for all of the Traffic Series events are currently available. You can get a hold of them by contacting Steppenwolf. For more in-depth information about the series, be sure to click on over to our website, Talk Theater in Chicago's news section. Brett Nevue kicks off the Red Orchid's 15th anniversary season with the world premiere of his newest drama, Weapon of Mass Impact. The show opens on Monday, October 22nd, and is the second installment of a trilogy that began with Timeline Theater's critically acclaimed Harmless, which ran last January. Brett Nevue is one of Chicago's favorite playwrights, and he has debuted 4 plays specifically at the Red Orchid Theater. A Weapon of Mass Impact marks his 5th. He is also one of the resident playwrights at the Chicago Dramatists. Directing Weapon of Mass Impact will be Ed Sobel. This production marks his 4th collaboration with Brett. The tickets for Weapon of Mass Impact are currently on sale and can be purchased by calling 312-943-8722, which is the Red Orchid Theater's box office, or you can click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Coming Soon section. Well, Halloween is right around the corner, and you may be in the mood to see some Halloween-themed shows. Well, be sure to click on over to our theater news section. We have a few choice shows that may put you right in the mood for a scare. So whether you want to be horrified, frightened, or just plain grossed out, make Theater in Chicago your stop to find out what's going on for this Halloween theater season. Well, it seems that Black Ensemble Theater's Jackie Taylor will be receiving a special Jeff Award from the Joseph Jefferson Awards Committee at the next ceremony. Talk Theater in Chicago would like to congratulate Jackie for her achievement. Be sure you click on over to the Talk Theater in Chicago archives where you can hear a past interview between Tom and Jackie. It is a good one. Congratulations, Jackie Taylor. Well, thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, you know what time it is. It's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from All's Well That Ends Well, Act 3, Scene 7. Wicked meaning in a lawful deed. So, this is the time where I remind you that we are here every Monday with more news, but I'm sure you already know that. So, until next week, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. So get out there and see it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Austin Tischner for giving us the honor of interviewing him this week. I would also like to remind you that Austin has his own podcast that you can find at ReducedShakespeare.com, so be sure to click on over and check it out. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And of course, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode, ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next week, Chicago, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you to keep talking theater.